Salmon P. Chase's name came up. John C. Fremont's name came up, as well as others. In late August, the Democrats met in Chicago and nominated George B. McClellan. McClellan's views hadn't changed since we last talked about him in 1862. He was still against emancipation, but he supported restoration of the Union based on a military victory. He wanted reunion. That would be his minimum position from which to start talks. This upset the Peace Democrats, who wanted a plank calling for an armistice first. First, let's stop fighting, they said. Then we'll begin to negotiate. McClellan said, no, we need union first, and then we can talk. The states have to come back into the Union. Well, the Peace Democrats fell in line behind McClellan, but they had their way with the party platform in 1864. It denounced arbitrary military arrests. It denounced interference with slavery by the federal government. And it insisted, quote, that immediate efforts be made for a cessation of hostilities with an eye toward a later convention or other means to bring peace on the basis of the federal union. They're calling for the old union as it was again, but they want an armistice first in the platform. This wording put peace before union in the platform. McClellan had put union before peace. The question was, would McClellan accept the platform? Would he run on this platform? And in the end, he did. He waffled for a while, but in his acceptance letter, he decided that he would have to put union first and peace second. Some of the Peace Democrats grumbled. They said that McClellan had outmaneuvered them on this, but most of them fell in line behind McClellan in the 1864 election. It's a difficult game of cat and mouse, in a sense, between McClellan and the Peace Democrats over the platform and McClellan's statement of acceptance. The Republicans had already met by that time. By the time the Democrats met in August, they had met in June in Baltimore, and they had renominated Lincoln. The Republicans didn't campaign as Republicans, however. They called themselves the Union Party in 1864, trying to appeal as broadly as possible to Northern voters. Seeing that their adversaries were squarely against abolition, they decided to get behind Lincoln, did the Republicans, to present a united front. Even the radical Republicans, even those who'd been unhappy with Lincoln, decided that he was much the better option of these two, and so they presented quite a solid front. Victories were still needed, however, military victories, if the Republicans were to overcome the Democratic propaganda that labeled the war a costly failure with no end in sight. The Democrats would say, listen, we fought for more than 3 years. We still aren't in Richmond. We still haven't defeated the Confederate armies. We've seen our liberties trampled upon. How long are we going to put up with this? We need to get out of this losing, immensely costly war. Lincoln and the Republicans needed something to trump that argument on the part of the Democrats, and beginning in late August, they got the cards they needed. The first came at Mobile Bay, the major remaining open Confederate port on the Gulf of Mexico. We've already seen how Farragut captured it in August 1864. Now, that's important, but certainly wouldn't have been enough. The key victory came from Georgia, when on September 1st and 2nd, the Confederate Army evacuated Atlanta. The Northern people went wild with delight at news of Atlanta. Atlanta had become a great symbol of the frustration of Northern armies throughout 1864, and probably only the capture of Richmond would have touched off more significant rejoicing than did the capture of Atlanta. The third blow to the South and the third great assist for the Lincoln administration came in the Shenandoah Valley, when Philip H. Sheridan conducted a very successful campaign against a small Confederate army under Jubal Early, winning 3 victories in a row in 1 month between September 19 and October 19 in the Battle of Third Winchester, followed up by Battle of Fisher's Hill and finally the Battle of Cedar Creek. 3 victories for Sheridan, which together with Atlanta and Mobile propelled Lincoln and the Republicans toward victory in those elections in 1864. The victories gave the Republicans tremendous confidence, and they went after the Copperheads with a vengeance. There were rumors of plots between Copperheads and Southern agents to free Southern prisoners of war in the Great Lakes region, to burn major northern cities, to stir up draft resistance, and to foment an open rebellion to form a Northwest Confederacy.